All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
Hey, wait a minute. I'm not done with my dance party yet. Oh. And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
What our listeners need to understand this week is that when we tuned in, I mean, I'm not going to point any fingers, but let's just say the name rhymes with David Moulton.
Whoa, that's crazy.
When we tuned in to start the show tonight, David was mid-dance party.
That's right.
So I joined in and started busting a move, and then all of a sudden he's like, hey, let's work. Looking all like Donkey Kong.
Yeah, that's exactly the look I do. I want to work.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what I was face to face with when it was my turn to dance. When it was his turn to dance, that's fine. It's all a party. Well, it's all good times.
And then
all of a sudden, I try to bust the move, and it's Donkey Kong.
I thought I'd do a reversal on here, because what happens is, most of the time, as soon as the camera clicks on, you've got goofy hats on, or you're like, you know, putting on some funny glasses or something, and I'm always like, whoa! So I thought I'd get you this time. I didn't know it backfired so horribly on me.
Yeah, well, you know, what can I say?
He's got dance lights. Let's slow things down right now for everybody.
You thought you could out-dance party me?
No
you
way.
Thought I didn't have a strobe light dance ball at the ready at a moment's notice?
I was so unprepared for how prepared you were.
Who do you think you're dealing with here, David?
I didn't realize this was the Penn Ketchum. Party extraordinaire.
Oh my god, too funny. Listen, hey, we got a light week this week. We don't have a whole ton of news. We got a few trailers. We got a great movie to review. Or at least that's my opening.
We'll see.
That's my opening position. I don't know if we're on the same page or not, because we haven't gotten there yet, but
we need to address that we're in the middle of SNOVID-19. Are you surviving?
Oh. We got a dusting.
It's a wee bit of snow.
The heavy stuff's not going to come down for hours.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have the, I guess you don't have the same problem because you got cats, but my dog needs to go outside.
Oh yeah.
And she won't go potty just anywhere. So yeah. I've had to keep up with it all day long. I've been going out, you know, have to reshovel, you know, a nice little path through the backyard for her. And I mean, we have a solid foot. We have probably a foot of snow.
Yeah, I mean, I used to have a dog and I used to have to do that. Now I just have a cat, and when she's upset, she just poops in the tub. So
perfect.
You know, that's what I came home to today. I was like, why does it? Why? Why are you in the box? It's clean. Why did you poop in the poop in the tub? Now I gotta clean the tub too.
And then what did she say?
She just cried because she wanted food. I was like, come on.
They're the worst.
Animals. Have some respect.
Oh, all right,
you ready
brother.
To open up this week with some of the big news?
Yeah, I guess. All right, go ahead.
All right. No Time to Die. Right? This movie that's been,
Still making that movie?
It's been about, well, that's the thing. They're still making it because it went into reshoots.
That's really interesting, and I really don't know how I feel about this. I only just saw this story today, and I'm like, on the one hand, so done right? So yeah. Done with James Bond news. Like, I can't bear it.
Yeah.
And then on the other hand, now there's going to be like three or four hands, so bear with me. So on the one hand, I'm done talking about James Bond. On the other hand, cool. Like, okay, so they're taking advantage of the time, you know, to add, to improve the movie, blah, blah, blah. But on the third hand, this gets back to the debate that we've had many times on the show about my general opposition to the so-called director's cut.
Ooh. Now, wait, do you know what they're reshooting?
No.
Let me help you out here. This might change your perspective.
Okay, talk me through it.
The reshoots are Nokia had put out a contract for their new 2019 phone to be featured in James Bond. Well, that phone is now outdated. So the reshoots and the CGI effects are for product placement. They're upping both Nokia and I think there's another brand. They're redoing the scenes with their product placement so that it's the newest product. Some of it will be like just computer effects to make it look new, and some will be actual reshoots. To which I say, how many people watch a James Bond film and they're like, I want that Nokia? How many people buy Nokias as it is anyway?
Oh,
I mean, if it was an iPhone or like a Samsung phone, I'm like, I would get it. Hey, no respect around here.
No respect. That's a fair question. How many people? Yeah, I didn't even know that Nokia was a thing.
Right. And I think it's like the other thing is like a Sony Ericsson product or something in it. So
I bought a Omega watch because of James Bond.
Really?
Yeah, years ago, Quantum of Solace. They had a special edition watch, and I freaking bought it.
This is probably going to be the worst movie in the series, and they need to commemorate it with,
right.
with an expensive watch.
I think of it as my James Bond watch. It's the only fancy, I was going to say only fancy watch, but really it's the only fancy thing that I own.
Oh.
And I bought it because I thought it looked good on James Bond. And I think we've talked about on this show before, when I put a tuxedo on, in my mind, I look just like George Clooney, right? And so when I I mean, you can't hardly tell us apart.
I'm like, George, is that you?
Right. I get that all the time, right? So when I'm walking around in my tuxedo looking like George Clooney, and then I put on my James Bond watch, I look exactly like Daniel Craig.
This is what I imagine. I imagine like you guys.
So I had to have the watch.
You guys are getting ready in the you know, you're in your bedroom getting like, what should I wear? And of course you turn to Amy. Right. You're like, Amy,
right.
What do I wear? Like, dress me. And she's like, well, it is a fancy occasion. And then there's like a brief moment of like pause. And then you both kind of look over to the dresser, to the box with the watch in it. Like, I guess it's fancy. And that's when you know it's time to put the watch on.
That's when it's party time, for sure.
Oh, the lights are back on! Party time!
Okay, so we got on a little tangent because I guess my point was like an Omega watch is like classy, consistent with the James Bond brand.
Right, but these phones...
Right?
Yeah, these phones and stuff, they go out of style, like, instantly.
Well, who in the Broccoli family decided, like, let's partner up with Nokia?
I mean, who?
Let's hitch our wagon to that star.
Can you imagine if, like, the car dealership was like, oh, this isn't the newest Audi in the movie. We need to reshoot all the car scenes.
Right.
Like,
right, exactly. So, okay, so now let's get back, now that we've had a little walk down product placement lane and cast our judgments, since you and I know so much about product placement and products in general. There's no two guys better equipped to break this down. It's too bad the rest of the world isn't as smart as us.
I know. No one is into brand deals and fashion like we are. Let's get it. Right. Let's talk more. Right.
Okay, so now that we've sort of bashed Nokia and plugged Omega, let's talk about the fact that they're reshooting to get a certain product in there. Are you okay with that? Or is it kind of like, whatever, it's just business?
you know, I'm kind of like, whatever. I think it's dumb,
yeah.
But I'm like, if they want to pay to do it, like, whatever. The movie's not out. Like, it's not, this is not holding us from seeing the movie.
Right.
Like, we're not going to see it anyway.
This, to me, as silly as it is, this, to me, is less upsetting than if you had been like, the director wanted to go a different angle on the third act.
Right. Yeah.
You know, or James Bond wasn't happy with his Oscar bait scene.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So, yeah, it's silly and it's kind of goofy, but whatever. It, to me, it's like, all right, this is better than some artistic, like, you know, diversion.
Right. Yeah, to me, it doesn't really mean much. I'm like, they probably could have done this and not announced it, and nobody would have ever known.
Right. You know? Well, but see, once again, you and I are proven to be the fools that we are because we fell for it again because they made the announcement and then we took the bait like a couple of suckers.
We're like, top news of the week. Here it goes.
Right. And now here we are like idiots talking about it.
Yeah.
Typical. But, typical.
I mean, if you're not going to listen to a bunch of idiots talk about movies, then who are you going to listen to?
Right. Exactly.
I don't know.
Okay. So have you ever heard of a guy named John Bernthal?
I have.
Didn't he play the Punisher?
He played the Punisher on Netflix. He did. People love him as the Punisher on Netflix. And I, quite personally, don't have an opinion. I don't. I got to be honest. Like, I love the Punisher. I like the Marvel stuff. Or I did, like, the Marvel Netflix stuff for the most part. He was neither, like, great nor bad. Like, I was like, okay, he's the Punisher. Like, okay. Like, sure, he's got a series now. I didn't watch it, but okay. Whatever. Hmm. How are you? Were you like, oh, I love him as he's the Punisher? To me, like, Thomas Jane was, like, an awesome Punisher. Or I don't know. Just like,
I could not.
Whatever.
I could not name a single Punisher.
Dolph Lundgren was the Punisher.
Okay.
I mean, just grab an Italian-looking dude that's kind of buff and throw a skull in his shirt. Oh, he's the Punisher! Oh my gosh! I mean, it's not too hard. So, I mean, he's fine. He's fine. Like,
did you know that we were getting a reboot?
I didn't.
So that's the news.
Yeah, but this is the interesting thing about these Netflix shows because they talked about how. What's his place might continue to play Daredevil in the Spider-Man movie. I forget his name, but I loved him as Daredevil.
Tom Cruise.
Yeah, Tom Cruise. Yeah.
Oh, no. It's Tom Hanks, I think. Oh,
no. You're getting it confused. This was the Rick Moranis part.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Moranis as Daredevil.
In Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters 3. Yeah. So he might be crossing over, and I think that's fine. Like, I kind of like that they're doing, because they had J. Jonah Jameson. The whole new Spider-Man thing is, like, using the same actors in the same roles, but it's a different universe.
Right.
Whatever. If you're going to do that, pull the Band-Aid off and do it with a ton of characters, and we'll all be fine. But it's looking like this might be, like, a show, another show, but they don't know where they're going to put it. From what I'm reading, is it'll probably go to Hulu because it's too adult for Disney Plus. To which I say, if you've got a branding, stick with it.
Yeah.
If you're gonna put it on Hulu, I'm automatically gonna be like, that's the Hulu universe. It's not
right.
Just like that's the Netflix universe. It's not really. You're really gonna have to struggle to connect this in to get me to like as a Pinkies Out Marvel fan. Like, to get me to acknowledge that it's real.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Are we done with new platforms?
Dude, totally.
Okay.
Let me explain this to you. I don't have cable TV hooked up, right?
Okay.
And people can be like, oh, you're saving money. I guarantee you.
Right.
I spend more money on all the services I have than I would if I just had cable TV.
Right.
You know, and then the thing they do is they get you. I should have unsubscribed from CBS All Access last month, and I forgot about it. Here we are, February 1st. I mean, come on. Like, I'm down right. for another month of this thing. I don't want it.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't stand a chance.
Yeah, they got me. I couldn't figure out how to cancel. So I had to go online. I was using my Xbox. Anyway. All right, Cloverfield. Remember that movie?
Yes, I remember it well. I liked it.
But do you remember Cloverfield Lane? The second one.
Did that ever come out?
Yeah, Cloverfield Lane is actually really good. John Goodman.
I think I missed it.
What?
Yeah, no, seriously. I think I know that we opened it, and I feel like No. Yeah, I saw that one. Yeah.
With the bunker underground?
Yes. And it was wild, right? Yeah. It was like totally unpredictable and crazy, and there was a girl involved.
Yeah.
And there were some like real interesting moral decisions.
Sort of, but then they get out and there's aliens out there and
talk. Yeah. No, I did see that. I did, and I enjoyed it.
And so at that point, it was like the Cloverfield name was going to be more of an anthology thing.
I thought that was Cloverfield too, but you're saying that's just sort of a...
It was going to be like, this is the Cloverfield, like it's like kind of like Twilight Zone type.
Oh, gotcha. Type thing. Okay.
Like yep. It'll have a monster yep. and an alien in it or whatever.
Yeah.
Then they made the Cloverfield Paradox, which was released straight on Netflix. It was horrible. Huh. But that movie said, wait a second, it's all one big universe. To which everyone was like, is it?
Is it though?
Do we like?
Well, that kind of goes to your that goes to your point about like, you know, if you put it on a, you know, you can't put it on a totally random platform and then expect it to all hold together.
Right. So anyway, Cloverfield 2 is in the works. The difference here is Cloverfield 2 is going to take place right after, you know, like it's going to be a sequel to Cloverfield.
Gotcha. Okay.
Where the giant monsters attacked.
Okay.
The big thing is it won't be a found footage film. Like Cloverfield
like
was found footage. I think that's fine. I think that's cool. So
wasn't there an issue with the first Cloverfield? You know what I remember about that? It's so random. You know, do you ever remember like incredibly random and semi-meaningless conversations, but for some reason you remember them like forever?
Yeah, they like every week and they're online too.
Touché, mon frère. I got it. All right. I see what you're doing. I see you, Eddie. I know you. Zing, but zing. And I'm interested, I don't know if Pirate Captain Dave is listening to this particular conversation or not, but it was around the time when he and I used to work together, and I'm not sure if I'm imagining this or not, but if it wasn't him, it was one of like the booth guys, like one of the guys that works in the booth.
Yeah.
And somebody was telling me they had watched Cloverfield last night, and their big problem, their whole entire problem with the entire movie. Now, this is a pretty science fiction-y movie, is that fair to say?
Yeah.
A lot of imagination used.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
In making the movie and also in enjoying the movie and everything like that. Whoever, I don't remember exactly which guy it was, but it was one of those booth guys from that era. And Pirate Captain Dave would know exactly who I mean. But it's like one of, like, there's like five or six guys in this little group. And one of them, their big problem with Cloverfield was, didn't somebody get saved off the roof of a collapsed building, but they had like a giant like spear, like a piece of rebar coming through their chest or something?
Probably, I don't remember.
Right, but then they didn't die.
Oh, yeah, I think there is something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, and this guy, this conversation that I remember from like 100 years ago, that's all he wanted to talk about this movie was, there's no way that guy would have lived. And I'm like, but the aliens in Central Park we were okay with. You know? With that rebar, you're right, that guy should have died for sure.
It ruined his suspension of disbelief. That's
It's so...
that's It was too it's, much.
Yeah, that's where there's a line, and then you crossed it. That's
yeah.
all.
Yeah, learn your stuff. Come on.
All right, so Cloverfield 2, that kind of makes me want to go watch Cloverfield. I haven't watched it since it came out. Have you seen it since it came out?
At least once.
Okay.
It's one of those movies that, like, it's good, but I don't need to watch it all the time.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
The more you watch it, the more it falls apart. So it's just like every now and then it's fun. Yeah.
Yes, I totally, totally agree.
Yeah. So, all right. Are you familiar with the comic Invincible?
No.
Okay. I wouldn't expect you to be.
Okay.
It's like really popular. It's written by the guy who wrote The Walking Dead, Alex Kirkman. And he's like, people love him, right? I've read
Alex Kirkman or Robert Kirkman?
Robert Kirkman. Sorry. Gotcha. Alex Kirkman is Star Trek. Robert Kirkman is, I better check that.
We don't want our long list of fact checkers.
Yeah, I know. Tomorrow morning, I'll be like, yeah, okay, it's Robert Kirkman. Yeah, I got it right. Alex Kirkman, he's the showrunner of Star Trek Discovery. Anyway, Robert Kirkman, he wrote this thing, Invincible. And it's like, what if Superman had a son, right? And that son got his powers. But then it turned out that Superman was actually on Earth to dominate us. And the son, like, finds out that his dad's the bad guy who had been playing and being a hero. And so his son calls himself Invincible. Yeah. And they're making a show, a cartoon of it for HBO Max. And I got to say, animation style looks just like the comic, which I think the comic's pretty good. People love it. I just think it's pretty good. But they're making a movie. So Robert Kirkman came out and said, hey, look, the live-action Invincible movie will not be connected to the Invincible HBO Max series. So it'll be like a total retelling of it, just in live-action. So don't worry. It's not going to be connected. And he said, hey, it worked for Spider-Man. He has movies and he has cartoons. And they're not connected.
So say that again. So Invincible is a comic book series.
Yes.
As you explained. Yes. And we're going to have to come back to that because I do have something I need to come back to.
All right.
But Invincible is a comic book series about Superman's son trying to save the world from Superman.
Well, not like not a knockoff Superman, like not actually Superman.
Oh, okay.
It's its own story. It's like this a different type of alien guy. He's basically Superman. Came to Earth, and he's Earth Protector, and he's super great and everything. And then it turns out that, like, this alien race sends these people out to planets to prepare them for domination.
So I hope nobody gets stabbed by rebar, or else it'd be totally unbelievable.
Thankfully, one guy does, but he dies. So we're okay.
So anyway, this comic book series is getting an animated series on HBO Max.
Right. That looks just like the comic.
Okay, that's old news. That's exciting. We're looking forward to that. Cool. But now what you're reporting today is that Robert Kirkman has said that this Invincible content universe, whatever you want to call it, is getting a live-action movie.
Right.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Sounds like fun.
Cool, right? But it's not going to be connected to the cartoon. So you don't have to watch the cartoon.
Okay.
To be into the
can I watch it? Can I watch the cartoons?
You may watch the cartoons.
Yeah, I may watch it. It's not.
Well, you need a prescription.
It's not an obligation.
Yeah.
There's a qualifying process.
Yeah. Government is involved. It's a back and forth
there's
thing.
Some committees.
Have you been vaccinated? I don't know.
There's a panel. There's some memo. I'm sure there's a memo involved.
Yeah.
All right. So two things.
Okay.
First of all, that crew that we talked about a minute ago from up in the booth.
Uh-huh.
You know what my favorite memory of those guys is?
What's that?
One time at, like, no exaggeration, like 2:30 in the morning. What these guys used to do is they used to close down the theater and then they'd hang out and watch movies.
Right.
Right. Well, one night at 2:30 in the morning, my phone rang.
Oh, boy.
Because one of them had dropped their keys down the elevator shaft.
Oh, no.
So they were really screwed because they couldn't get, like, they couldn't close up the building. They couldn't get home. There was, like, all kinds of problems. So much to their unfortunate. They didn't want to, but they could come up with no better idea than to call me at 2:30 in the morning. So, but here's the best part. I'm not this, like, whatever. That's fine. Things happen. I get called in the middle of the night. It's fine. But here's the best part. The phone rings and I'm obviously, I mean, I hope that it's obvious, but I'm sound asleep, right? I answer the phone. Hello? Like, you know how you do in the middle of the night, you get startled awake. And
You were magically 80 at that moment.
Right, exactly. And the guy that called me, I heard him say to the other guys, oh my God, he was asleep. What did you think I was going to be doing?
2 in the morning.
What do you think? I'm like hanging out in the kitchen making breakfast at 2 o'clock in the morning. You think I'm up practicing the piano? Like, what did you think I was going to be doing?
Young people, man.
I was wild. I was laughing so hard.
Oh my God, guys. Were you able to get the keys?
Yeah, there's a way that you can disable the – I don't remember exactly what happened with that particular phone call, but in other issues, there's a way that you can, like, send the elevator upstairs and then disable it and then use the emergency – there's, like, a secret hole in the elevator door to open the door, and then you fish out your keys.
Wow.
But I'm not sure if that's what we did or not. But the only thing I remember about it is how surprised they were that I was asleep in the middle of the night. All right. The second thing we need to come back to.
Okay. All right.
And this is this reveals yet again the incredibly shallow nature of my movie-going experience.
Okay. All right.
You said Superman has a kid, right?
Right.
How come we never see, like, the sex scene with, like, Superman and Lois Lane, like, getting busy?
Okay. All right. Hold on.
Like, because as soon as you said that, I was like, who's the mom?
Yeah. Well, okay. So in the comics, Superman does have a son, and his name's Jonathan Kent. And he's like, depending on what comics you read, it's him and Robin are like a team of kids running around. Or if it's in the future, like, he's the new Superman. Whatever. Okay. That's like a thing that's been a thing for a while.
Yeah.
But there are some comics where Superman and Wonder Woman were an item, and they bang. And when they bang, like, mountains, like, have explosions on them and stuff, and, like, clouds, like, move out of the way because of the shockwaves and stuff, because it's a god.
Imagine, like, alien worlds. God. Talk about, like, worlds colliding.
Yeah, seriously.
That's great.
So when
that's
they get
great.
Busy, that's when things get a buzzy.
Or as the mystery gobbler would say, waka waka waka. Fuzzy bear. Oh my God, this show is completely off the rails. One last bit of news for the good of the order. Lord of the Rings, you remember that franchise? Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Rings is playing 1 week only in IMAX this weekend.
Whoa!
February 5th, 6th, and 7th, you can catch Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring in IMAX this weekend, courtesy of our friends at Warner Brothers.
Extended edition?
I was not prepared for follow-up questions.
I'm not at liberty to share at this moment.
My lawyer says I
do not know.
Would you say my lawyer says I do not know?
Yeah.
I don't know. While we're doing the show, I'm writing IMAX to ask them, is this the extended edition? Do we want it to be or not?
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember that we reviewed these movies during the beginning of the pandemic.
I do remember
and
that.
We watched the extended editions.
Yes, I remember that we reviewed them because I remember watching them, but I could not remember our position on the extended or non-extended
Always
edition.
Extended.
Always.
Always extended. Theatrical is less of a movie.
Really?
Yeah.
But that's different than a director's cut.
Oh, yeah.
So what's the difference between a director's cut and an extended edition?
I don't know, but I'm telling you that these movies are, like, totally different because of the... Like, they're so improved as a result of – I mean, you've seen them. The thing is it's been so long since you saw the theatrical that you probably don't even like realize how much more is in the extended edition. And without it, how much like corners are cut.
Right.
So like this, the extended was how the movies were meant to be. Theatrical is what the company, the production company was like, the movie has to be 2.5 hours long. Has to. And this is what they did to make it that long.
Okay. So are you going to watch Lord of the Rings this weekend?
We just watched it. I don't think so.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you are new to the show and did not watch Lord of the Rings with us, I highly recommend it. It is. I am tempted to watch it just because I don't think I've ever seen it in IMAX.
IMAX, that's amazing.
I mean, it's got to be good.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you ready to get into trailers? Because here's the thing. Please. I want to say about this week's trailers. It's a hard roll for trailer of the week for me.
I completely agree.
Okay. So we've got three trailers.
Can I add one? Can I add one real quick?
I don't know if you.
Did you see that trailer?
That's a person.
She has a movie, the Billie Eilish movie.
I did not see the trailer for that.
Okay, well, I'll tell you about it.
Why don't you open with that since you...
All right, so Billie Eilish has a movie coming out, opening in IMAX on February 26th. And if you're not near an IMAX, it also is opening theatrically. And it looks amazing. It looks similar to Justin Bieber's movie that he had a few years back, where it's like part concert footage, but part like home videos. And it's like her life story. And it's more of a documentary type of a movie. But I mean, she is obviously an incredible talent. And I feel like I am more of a fan of hers just from having watched the 2-hour and 15-second trailer. So I highly recommend the Billie Eilish trailer. I have it playing in front of a bunch of movies. I think the movie is going to be great. I think it's going to be a sleeper. I think at the end of February, it's going to compete for the number one movie.
Wow.
Yeah. So check it out. Billie Eilish. Yeah. It's going to be big. Okay. I really do. I really think it's going to catch people off guard. I tell you, you know, I know you get offended when I say this.
I'm already offended, so.
right. But you and I are not the, like, target audience.
What?
I mean, we're not the target audience, and I still want to see the movie. So that in and of itself says something.
Yeah.
But, like, Kayla, she is the target audience. She and her friends are... And this was like as of a couple weeks ago when I first got word that the movie was coming. They have planned their month of February around coming to the IMAX when it opens pre-shows on February 25th.
Wow.
So like the level of excitement is like off the charts for the perfect target audience. I think the trailer I might be overselling it a little bit. I might be a little bit biased based on how much enthusiasm I know Kayla has for it, but still you cannot argue it's a good trailer.
I got to check it out.
Yeah, check it out, Billie Eilish. There's a subtitle to it. It's called like Billie Eilish, you know, whatever. There's like a second part to the title, but yeah. All right, so the three trailers we have this week, and we'll talk about them each individually, but we have Raya and the Last Dragon trailer number 2, Fear of Rain, and The Courier, starring Benedict Cumberbatch.
He said Cumber. All right, let's start with Raya and the Last Dragon. This is like, we had a teaser before, so I put trailer 2, but it's really the first real trailer.
Right.
Because the other one was a teaser, even though it was pretty long. I love this. I think she looks like a badass warrior. I think the story looks fun. I think it looks funny. Dude, when she pulled out the sword whip, I was like, whoa!
I was like, that's different and awesome.
Mm-hmm. So I'm actually really pumped for this.
Yeah, me too. This is not my trailer of the week, but it is, first of all, the trailer is awesome. And second of all, I can't wait to see the movie, which comes out March 5th.
Yeah. Now it is in theaters and
on what they're
calling Disney Premium.
No, you're crazy.
Yeah, man. I would not lie about such audacity.
So people who listen and remember things carefully will remember that when they did Mulan this summer.
Yeah.
I reported that I had spoken to an unnamed Disney executive who admitted that the general consensus in the executive suites was that they had overpriced it.
Yeah.
That they thought a little too highly of themselves. So I was really surprised to see that they're going the same route for Raya and the Last Dragon, but I guess they must be, or I'm guessing that they're lowering, have they announced, because Mulan was what, $40, I think?
Yeah, $30.
$30. Have they announced what Raya is going to cost?
Not that I'm aware.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I got to imagine either, they've got to go to a rental service or something. Like, make it $5 and you can rent it. But it was, Mulan was $30 and you, quote unquote, owned it.
I don't care what they do, because I don't think a movie like this should be seen at home.
It looks like a theater movie.
This is a theatrical movie. But also the other thing is, I think that people are voting with their wallets and agreeing with me, because, for example, this week the number one movie by a long shot was The Little Things, starring Denzel Washington, which we're going to review in a few minutes. But that movie was by far and away the number one movie, and you could have absolutely watched it at home on HBO.
Right.
But instead, people came out to the theaters because they wanted the theatrical experience, and they made it the number one movie. Now, I don't bother writing in and telling me the bar is so low and blah, blah, blah. I get that. I know that. But still, it says something.
Right. And the same thing happened with Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman. Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Same thing happened with a bunch of different movies that we've had, Promising Young Woman. And I think that this movie, Raya, is a good example of, like, the movie The Little Things is absolutely better seen in a movie theater. But I think the difference between seeing The Little Things in a theater and seeing it in your living room is not, like, gigantic.
Right.
It's like a good, like, it's definitely better to be able to see it in a dark room with less distractions, because it's a subtle movie and there's some details going on and there's some you got to follow along, right, and you got to listen to, you know, what they're talking about. The difference between seeing Raya on your TV and seeing it in the theaters is huge. I would guess it looks like from this trailer, it's going to be a, you know, same thing with Wonder Woman.
Right. All right. So this almost stole my number one trailer.
Okay.
It didn't.
The next movie on our list, our next trailer on our list, is called The Fear of Rain, or Fear of Rain, which, I, correct me if I'm wrong, does this turn out to be a horror movie?
I think it is more in the horror genre.
Yeah. This is my trailer of the week.
Oh.
I mean, if it's not number one, it's number two behind The Courier, but and I'll tell you why. Because the movie starts out looking like it's going to be a touchy-feely drama, mental health, you know, type of movie. And then you suddenly realize, like, whoa, there's more going on here. And then the thing that totally, like, did it for me is, this is the first time since I can remember that I watched a trailer for a horror movie that wasn't, like, dark and grim and full of people screaming. Now, there was screaming and there was, you know, intensity and everything, but the trailer played differently than other horror movie trailers, which I really appreciated, because as we've discussed on the show, I think I've said to you, like, I'm sick of all these horror movies, but this horror movie, which I think we can call it that, it plays differently. It looks smarter. We just say that. It looks like a smart horror movie, which I'm all about.
And okay, so it is definitely a take on, like, Rearview Mirror or Disturbia.
Right.
Like, someone sees something and is it real? Who knows it? Something going on next door. But the added aspect of it is the person is schizophrenic. So they definitely see things that aren't there already. So it's like they're sick. And everyone knows they're sick. So is what you're seeing real or is it not? Like, I think it's going to be a real interesting, like, thing to look into, to watch. I mean, I both really want to see this movie and don't want to see it. It looks really disturbing at the same time, but it also looks really good. So
I, I definitely want to see it. It stars Katherine Heigl, or she's like the mom, I think.
Yeah.
What's interesting is this movie is listed like on IMDb or whatever as a drama slash horror slash thriller.
Okay.
And there's another interesting thing. I don't know if you knew this. The title is called Fear of Rain. The main character, in other words, the girl,
her name
not
is
the
Rain.
Mom, but right. Her name is Rain.
Yeah.
Which I love that. That's like 500 Days of Summer. You remember that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it turns out the girl's name was Summer.
Oh my word.
Stop it. By the way, how great is 500 Days of Summer?
I have a love-hate relationship with that movie. Because I love it, but I also hate that movie because I hate what he goes through so bad. Too real.
But then at the end, he meets the girl.
Autumn.
And her name is Autumn.
Yeah. All right. Last movie trailer that we have is The Courier, starring Benedict Cumberbatch. This is my trailer of the week. This looks great. I'm really looking forward to this movie. When does it come out? Not soon enough.
Not soon enough. Yeah. And I was looking, I rewound it to see if there was any information about what the plans are for the release. And I was unable to find any worthwhile information.
Yeah. So the premise here is Benedict Cumberbatch is some sort of everyday Englishman, and the government comes to him and they're like, hey, we're recruiting you to be a spy against the Soviets. Go to Germany and just do your thing. And everyone else will think you're a normal businessman, but you got to do this stuff. And it's he's not trained and he's got to go do the spy stuff and put his whole family and everything in danger. But he does it. And that's what they did, because they thought, they would send him over and they'd be like, the KGB is everybody. Expect everyone is against you. Everyone's a spy. So I think it looks really good because he plays this kind of lovable character that's kind of bumbling through everything.
Right. He says, is it dangerous? And the guy goes, if it was dangerous, we wouldn't be sending you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It comes out in March.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. And it also co-stars one of my favorite, new favorite, I guess she's not up and coming anymore, Rachel Brosnahan from The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
She's in it. And I think she has shown great taste in picking really good roles. So what's interesting is this movie was originally titled Iron Mark.
Oh,
interesting. So I'll be really interested to see why. And I love it when you sort of have that little peek into, multiple names. It suggests a different way of looking about the movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Did we talk last week about how Spider-Man and Star Trek are connected?
Yeah. Okay. I forget what you said.
No, it's okay. We don't have to go into it. We just need to know that it's a thing, and I am willing to talk about it. Okay. If you see me and you want to talk about this, hit me up.
You're willing. Hey, I just want to say before we get into our movie of the week here, IMAX wrote me back. It is not the extended edition. Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring is playing in IMAX. And I wrote IMAX and said, is this the extended edition? And she wrote back and said, no, it is a 4K remastered IMAX version. Oh. So it's probably going to look amazing.
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't have all the stuff that you want it to have.
Can't always get what you want.
But you get what you need.
Get what you need.
That's it. Check you out, quoting The Big Chill.
Yep. All right.
What?
Say what? You ready to get into the little things? Pen, it's the little things that get you caught.
That's what gets you caught. I have to tell you, my immediate reaction when I watch The Little Things is I was like, first of all, I feel like I want to see it again. And second of all, I was like, I got to ask David some questions. But the best way that I can summarize this movie, first of all, I don't know what David's position is, but my position is I highly recommend this movie. like personally on the side, when my friends ask me in private about certain movies, I always give them the straight answer. And the straight answer on this movie would be, I do recommend it. I think this movie was great. And the way that I summarize it, and I'm curious to see if you would agree with this summary, this movie is not about what you think it's about or what you thought it was going to be about.
Sure.
Like, yeah. I watched the entire movie. Are we doing spoilers?
Yeah, let's do spoilers.
Okay.
Yeah.
I watched the entire movie thinking that the movie was about who's the killer.
Right.
But it has nothing to do with that. The whole entire movie is about what's his face? The young cop.
Yeah, James.
James.
Rami Malek. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't you agree the whole movie is about him and Denzel messing with him?
Denzel's not messing with him. It's about the movie is about how detectives can get wrapped up in their cases and not let go.
Right.
And
right.
both of these detectives have gotten wrapped up in their cases and can't let go. And both of these detectives have made a huge mistake in the line of duty, and other people have helped them cover it up, and they have to live with the fact that they did something very wrong in the path of trying to do something right.
Right. Okay. So the movie is about those parallel storylines and the life of someone who can't keep balance in their professional lives.
Yeah. So basically it's like, it's kind of like wear out of a detective or whatever. So Rami Malek's character is definitely like going in the same direction as Denzel. And for a while there,
right,
it's like, he's kind of pulling him along and being like, look, don't fall into this trap, but I'm certainly just like also fall into the trap and help me
right
what I'm doing. But it changes then when Denzel sees him in the exact same position that he's in. He's like, all right, look, I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to help you.
Right.
The difference here is where Denzel goes on with his guilt and living with his problem, and even his friends, you know, the lady has the bullet as her keychain
right
ring and
right
everything. And she's like, this is remind me of how we like lied and everything.
That terrible thing we did.
Yeah. With Denzel pretends like they've caught the killer so that Rami Malek can move on.
So pretends by sending him the red beret.
Yeah. Because Rami Malek was just obsessed with the fact that he never found the girl's body. He thought that this guy was the killer. They never were able to prove it. He doesn't know if they actually found the killer. So he sends him the beret because it, like, implying that he found it inside his house with all the other stuff, giving Rami Malek the idea that they, like, the sense that maybe I did this bad thing, but I stopped the right guy. Like, it's over. Because you see him at the pool, he's still thinking about the girl, the unsolved mystery of, you know, this girl, like, who killed her, and it's like eating him up from his family. But then he gets the beret, and that kind of says, no angels, because, you know, the whole thing was, no angels, don't hold on to these girls, they're not, like, angels around. So he gets the beret, implying that they killed the right guy. But we as the audience don't know if he actually killed the right guy, because we don't.
There's no way he killed the right guy.
We don't know. I mean, Jared Leto's character is insane, so.
But Jared Leto, his character clearly was not the killer.
See, I don't know if it was clear, because it looked to me, right before he got hit in the head with the shovel, it really seemed like he was trying to get to the gun. He kept moving closer and closer behind him. And they just kept emphasizing with the way the angle of the shot that the gun in its holster was sticking up because he was bent over. And he just kept getting closer, and he was edging him on to distract him by the fact that he kept moving closer to him. And because he even pretended to shoot him when he wasn't looking. And then he was just moving close. I think he was going to kill him. And he pushed him too far. He turned around and hit him with the shovel.
So there's a woman that watches movies at Penn Cinema.
Only one?
Right. All the rest are guys. This is a elderly woman. I guess that's not fair to say. She's a little bit older. And I happen to be friends with her daughter. So I had made arrangements for this woman to come in and watch the little things off hours because she's scared of COVID. And, you know, I was being nice. And so when the movie was over, she sent me an email that said it was a humdinger and you must see it.
Oh.
I want to get her on the, I'm going to email her after the show and get her opinion on this because I disagree with everything you just said.
Really?
Oh, not flat out like everything you just said, but I disagree. I think that the audience has shown that Jared Leto or Leto or whatever, that he was not the killer because he has this long track record of jerking people's chains. And then like he was in the shift house or in the station all night, the whole shift. And then it turned out he was out of town on the night of the murder that he had just confessed to. And he had all this stuff in his apartment, but there was nothing. We weren't shown anything that actually connected. We were shown like long lists of like newspaper articles and sort of indirect evidence that he was like tracking this story, but I didn't see anything. And I did not pick up on him trying to get closer and closer to the gun. What I picked up on was him just torturing Rami Malek.
Oh yeah. Well, he has all the stuff under the floorboard about,
weren't those all news? Those were all newspaper clippings
about the murders,
right?
About that they suspect he was involved in.
Right, but they're just newspaper clippings. They weren't.
There were also little keepsakes in there too, but then they didn't show it. They didn't have time to show it. He was developing film in the bathroom. So and the whole start of it was that they imagined that the guy was across
the alley,
watching or taking video of the girl.
The observatory.
Yeah. So.
I thought for a second as the movie was concluding that Denzel was the killer.
I don't think that was.
No, I don't think so either.
He comes into, I mean, the whole thing was that he killed that girl by accident.
Right.
And they covered it up. Yeah.
Right. I don't know. I think the movie, honestly, I think the movie warrants a second viewing. I'd like to watch it again, knowing now that I know how it plays out, I think I could pay attention and look for more details along the way.
I think this movie is really, really solid. If you like crime drama, it's definitely a recommendation. I'll definitely recommend it to my mom. I do feel that, it was based in the 90s and it felt like a 90s drama. Like extremely, like it was filmed like a 90s crime drama. The whole time, I'm like, this feels like something I would have watched on Saturday afternoon, like Heat or whatever, when they rebroadcast and edit it on TV, whatever. So I would recommend it to my mom, maybe a few other people, but I do feel like I'm going to forget about this movie.
No, I would agree with that. Now, let me ask you one last question. What's the deal with the girl at the beginning who's like driving and then gets, you know, scared and runs off the road and somehow escapes? What's the deal with her coming back in the end? Like, what's the significance of that?
Okay. So she came to the police station to talk about how it was a near miss and they're looking for people doing that kind of things.
Right.
They're supposed to keep her segregated, right? So that she's not influenced by anything.
Right.
The lady lets her go there. So it was one of those things where they could have caught the criminal. Maybe they would have had evidence against him, but because she saw him in cuffs, her, I don't remember how they say it. It's admissible or whatever. Like, because she's now formed an opinion about this person is bad.
Right.
She's going to pick them out of a lineup.
Right.
So,
but I'm saying from the point of view of the storyline, from the point of view of the plot, what's the significance of that? Or is there one?
Well, it's one of those, like, you know, that keeps the plot going because you see her there and you're like, they're going to catch her. They're going to catch him. Like, this is going to be it. Like, she seems to kind of recognize him. She's going to turn him in. Like, this is going to be where the movie turns around and you get an idea of, like, they're going to start chasing him. But then just as quickly, it's like, well, her testimony doesn't work. You can't use it. So.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I still stand by what I said before, which is I'm a little confused. I don't 100% buy your analysis, but I totally agree with you that it's a solid crime movie, and I still highly recommend it. I personally think I'm going to go watch it again and see if I can pick more out of it.
Okay. All right, we need some more. Write us in, podcast@penncinema.com. Do you think I was on point? Or do you think something else is going on? I want to hear. Encyclopedia Brown, I know he saw it. I want to know what he thought.
For sure. Although he also watched Supernova, which I'm interested to hear what he thought of that one too. All right. Well, this week we had no significant listener notes, questions, and answers. Nothing funny enough to report.
Yeah. It's okay. Maybe next time. podcast@penncinema.com. Let us know. But
you and I are watching and reading the same thing. This might be the first time that ever happened.
What? All right. You want to talk about this?
Yeah, I think you better start us down the road.
All right. So we're watching Bridgerton. Right. How you handling Bridgerton?
Well, what do you mean?
I mean, are you liking it? What do you think?
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah. I think it's very Gossip Girl, but only Pride and Prejudice times.
Yeah, to me, it feels like a romance novel.
Yeah, it is. It's based off of romance. Now, are you watching it while wearing a top hat?
No, but I have my monocle on.
Is the person you're watching with it, who might be female, wearing it in a bonnet?
Right.
Watching it while wearing a bonnet. Because that's how me and the person I'm watching it with are actually legitimately watching this show, dressed up and drinking tea.
Stop.
Yeah, it's not within arm's reach, but I've got the top hat here. I'll show you.
You are the most fun person I've ever met in my life.
We're having a blast. So.
No, I'm watching it like a regular run-of-the-mill schmuck.
Oh,
I'm
man.
Just, yeah, I mean, Amy and I are watching it. We're enjoying it. What is it, one season, right?
Yeah, like 8 episodes.
Yeah, so I think we're almost done with it. We started down the road by watching Designated Survivor and we watched like a couple episodes of that and then thought that kind of sucked.
My man, you gotta like up your game.
I'm going to tell Amy tomorrow. We're supposed to keep watching it tonight. And I'm going to tell her like, we can't cause I'm not equipped. I gotta get my English tuxedo on. I gotta get out the good watch.
Yeah.
I should probably get out the good watch.
Watch out. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I tell you, I also watched a movie and it's a documentary, and as a movie, there's nothing special about it. But the content is so interesting. There's a movie, it's a documentary on Amazon Prime called The Dalai Lama Scientist.
Okay.
And it's a documentary. Do you know much about the Dalai Lama?
Not really. I mean, I know.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with the Dalai Lama.
Yeah, but... yeah, that's kind of where I was.
Yeah.
I read 7 years in Tibet. I mean, I had a rough, you know, understanding. But apparently the Dalai Lama is one of the foremost leaders in scientific thought, especially as it relates to things like quantum physics and quantum like biology and the cosmos and neuroscience and biology and molecular. Like this guy, it turns out, is like crazy smart, and he has all these, I mean, I sound stupid for saying it, it just shows my ignorance, and I didn't think that the guy wasn't smart. I just never realized that he was like this incredible, he has this incredible mind and level of curiosity and the intelligence that he can have these conversations with the world's foremost leading scholars and engage. Like, you know, I can't have a conversation with these guys, but, you know, the Dalai Lama can, and he, you know, can challenge them and get into it with them. Anyway, this was a fascinating documentary, and it's the kind of documentary I'm probably going to have to watch again at least a couple more times to digest everything, but really recommend it if you're interested in learning more about the Dalai Lama.
Wow. Sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's very – honestly, I felt like I was in school, but like in a fun way.
So next time you have to wear your Dalai Lama robes.
Right. While you're watching. I remember in the 80s, I was all cool and I wore a t-shirt that said Free Tibet.
Yeah.
And I had no idea what the, I don't know, because all my other stupid friends were upset about Tibet. I didn't know what it was. I thought somebody was giving away Tibets for free, you know, and
I'll sure was on left,
that. Right, like left over from the ad campaign or something. I don't know. I was, you know, just a 16-year-old idiot walking around with a t-shirt that said free Tibet. You know, it turned out there was this whole big thing.
Who would have known? Hey.
Hey. I also watched Promising Young Woman, which I highly recommend. And did you ever see a movie called Kill the Irishman?
I've heard of it, but I never watched it.
It's another one. It's a little bit slow is the wrong word. But it's a thinker. Thinker might be too strong of a word. But anyway, it's a good movie called Kill the Irishman. So I highly recommend Dalai Lama Scientist. I recommend Promising Young Woman and Kill the Irishman. If you're in the mood for a crime movie, but you've seen all the obvious ones, this might be a good one.
Okay. All right. Well, along with Bridgerton, I've been watching WandaVision, which I've got to say, they came around. You know, last week I was like, I don't know. Episode 4, my man.
Does it keep getting better and better? Because that's what people seem to think.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't sure, but then I saw, you know, Mike Mouville, fan of the show, friend of the show.
Yeah,
not big just friend. Fan, friend of the show.
Yeah.
He was like, it's amazing. So I plopped it on, and I got to say, episode 4 is exactly what I wanted to see out of the show. I'm excited for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
There's 4 more episodes. I have plans to marathon the season after it's over with someone, so looking forward to that. I think it'll be like really cool to watch back to back to back to back and like repick everything out that we missed the first time watching.
I still haven't seen a single episode.
Well, if you can hold out for another month, just they're only half hour episodes, so
yeah. I mean, that's what I'm thinking is, or either that, or maybe what I'll do is watch them all. This is what I did with Sopranos. Like, watch the entire series up until like the week before the final one comes out, and then I can watch the final one with everybody. And then when Michael Mouville like posts how great or how awful it was, I can be like in the know and comment like, oh yeah, man, totally.
You'd be like, well, actually, you see, he was edging it on, and he was going to grab that gun, and he was implied to
Han shot bad. First.
I've also been reading Temple of the Winds by Terry Goodkind, which is absolutely amazing. And here's the biggest news of the week.
Oh, this is great. I'm so excited.
I came up with a totally original, never been heard before, dad joke.
Oh, now, my God. I love it.
Penn, I'm not promising you it's a good joke.
No.
I'm not even promising you it's a funny joke.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just promising you that it's an original joke.
Oh, I love it.
So, all right, you ready for this?
I am.
All right. What do you call, what do you call a made-up story about someone who has aunts with psychic powers?
A tarantula.
Psy aunts fiction.
Ladies and gentlemen, the king of the castle.
I did it.
The champion of the joke. World, David Moulton. Now, I made up a joke once too.
Yeah?
Yeah, you want to hear it?
Yeah.
All right. It's not as good as yours. Because yours is actually funny and makes sense. But this is a joke that I made up many years ago, and I've been telling it for many years.
Oh, boy.
And my commitment to my children and my wife is that I will keep telling it until somebody actually finds it funny. The only person who has ever legitimately laughed at it is my dear brother from out west. All right. What if being tired and falling asleep was a medical condition? What if being tired was a medical condition, and then like all of a sudden, like your wife had to like call the doctor, and the doctor rushes over and rushes to your bedside and then looks up with a heavy heart and says to your wife, "I'm sorry, Mrs. Ketchum, we're too late. He's asleep."
I think how excited you were to tell the joke is what's funny. You're so like, here it comes. Here's the punchline. It's exactly what you expect.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Ketchum. We're too late.
He's asleep.
He's asleep. David, did I ever tell you that I have a special skill?
What's that?
I can pretty much fall asleep on command.
I somehow do not doubt that.
Yeah. I think it's from growing up in the city, and I used to sleep on the bus on the way to school or sleep on the subway. And I think just the ability to nap on public transportation in New York City. If you can nap on public transportation in Brooklyn during your formative years, then I think that's a skill you carry with you.
You can sleep anywhere.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow, I'm impressed.
Yeah.
Speaking of falling asleep, people are probably falling asleep to this episode. What are we reviewing next week? What are we going to talk about?
I don't know. I mean, I had an idea.
What's that?
I mean, there's no new movies.
Okay.
So there's no content at Penn Cinema. There's no new content.
Okay.
You want to go back and watch, you want to do some Pixar and watch WALL-E?
Pixar. Wait. Have you ever seen the one about emotions?
Inside Out?
Yeah.
Yeah, I watch that.
Have you seen all of them?
Yeah, of course.
I've never seen Inside Out.
Oh, let's watch it.
Okay, Inside Out. All right, so we're going to watch Inside Out. It'll be my first time into the Pixar extravaganza with this Inside Out. So, all right, look, if you want to be a part of the show, best way you can do that is to go ahead and send us an email, podcast@penncinema.com. Now, look, I want to start something new here, right? We want your emails. We want to hear from you, your comments on Facebook, whatever. But if you send in a voice clip, an appropriate voice clip of your question or your answer or whatever, I'm going to load it up right here, press the button, and we'll listen to it on show and respond. So it's like a call-in service. So just hit the record thing, send it in, big bang a boom. It's like you're on air.
Are we going to hear? I don't want to hear it before a show.
Right. I would.
You're going to have to.
I'll listen to it to make sure it's safe. But yeah. It'll be new to Penn. So
are you going
to
edit it down?
If it needs to be, I'll edit it down.
All right. So we reserve the right to edit it for focus.
Right. Or, you know, I might just bleep out words to make it sound like you swear a lot. No, you know,
right.
Some sweet grandma. She's like, how's everyone doing? It's all these beeps and stuff. And, yeah. So that's a new thing we're going to try. If anyone wants to do it, it'd be awesome. We'd love to hear from you, literally. So now, if you want to support the show, what's the number one way you can do that, Penn?
Tell a friend.
Really?
Yeah, all you got to do, tell a friend. And if you don't have a friend, tell us.
Yeah, we're your friends. Yeah, no one's ever told us before.
Yeah, I sometimes go forget about the podcast.
Yeah. Oh.
So I could always use a reminder.
Yeah, me too. So, all right. Well, next week we're going to be watching Inside Out. We hope to see you then. Once again, for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care.
Take care and
party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.